Okay, this is information about crystals. So this is basic information about crystals. And I am going to be referring to some different books. And I've got a whole pile of books in front of me, actually. But I actually just bought this book yesterday. It's called Crystal Chakra Healing. I have a ton of books on crystals, and I had been looking for a long time for one that was really good for students that has a lot of pictures in it, because one of my pet peeves are crystal books that don't have any pictures in them, and if you don't know what the crystals look like, it's hard to find them and identify them, right? So this book, I knew that today we would be doing practicing chakra balancing using crystals, and ta-da, this book is full of pictures and charts and pictures of actual stones. So I highly recommend this book. I actually got it from Crescent Springs, but I know you could order it online. It's called Crystal Chakra Healing by Philip Permut, P as in Paul, E-R-M-U-T-T. Philip Permut. So we're going to start off with basic 101. This lecture is just basic 101. You may already know some of this information, but you may not. And there may be some details that, even if you already know about crystals, I might explain something differently than what you already know. So crystals are basically just naturally occurring solids made from minerals. That's all they are. They're minerals. And then most of them are formed in the Earth's surface. And some of them are formed by inorganic processes like sedimentation, like settling of Earth. And then others are from outer space. They actually come to the Earth via, like, as meteors. They hit the Earth. So one example of that is a stone called moldavite. So there's a lot of different stones out there that are not of this Earth. There are fossils as well. Thank you. And then there's rocks. Okay. Was there something else? Right. So there's rocks. So gemstones they tend to be in the crystal family, right? So, and then a rock is just like, so not to confuse the two. So you might find a rock or a stone in your yard that actually is, it's just as valuable because it holds earth energy. But the gemstones and crystals that we're talking about tend to have a higher vibration, and they have specific uses. So again, what we're working with today are the gemstone and crystal family. And fossils, rocks, and anything that you can find on the Earth are also valuable as well. So that's from a broader family. So moving right along. Okay. Now, when you are selecting crystals, well, let me just take a little sideline here. So there are lots of books and encyclopedias out there that have an explanation of hundreds and hundreds of different stones. So one popular book is called Love is in the Earth. It's by an author named Melody, and it explains the physical and metaphysical uses for a variety of different stones. My complaint about these books is that there are no pictures. So it's not an identification. not an identification book, but it is a book that will tell you all the different uses. So right now we're not getting into all of the uses just yet, okay? So this is just a little sideline. There's also another book called The Crystal Bible. And this book doesn't list as many gemstones as Love is in the Earth, but it has pictures. So that'll help you to identify. If you're new to stones, then you will need help with identifying them. So the Crystal Bible does explain the uses of the crystals. Okay, so later you'll have the opportunity to learn about some specific crystals. And for now, we're just going to speak generally. Okay, so how do you select your crystals? All right, so some of you have already picked out gemstones for yourself before when you've gone to the crystal shop or the local bookstore. And so one common way to select your crystal is through intuition. So just like what your gut feeling tells you or which stone that you're most drawn to. There's another way that you can choose a crystal, and that is by using your pendulum. Let's say there's a whole display of different crystals, and you can hold your pendulum over the display and see which one gets a yes. You might get a yes on more than one, so you can slowly move your pendulum over the display that has lots of different crystals, and you might get a yes on one or more. You might get a no on others, and that will help you tune in to your intuition to discern which ones are right for you.
I have a question.
Yes, question.
Which is the yes and the no from the pendulum?
Well, when you're using a pendulum, and this is what we practiced this last month. So what I taught last month was a yes is a clockwise circle and a no is a counterclockwise circle. However, and that was just for time's sake to keep it simple, but there are other people do their yes and their no differently. So there are a lot of people out there who say that either side to side or up and down, just a straight line, is their yes or their no. And you can actually program your pendulum. You can hold it and you can say, this is a yes, and you can make it go up and down, or this is a no, and you make it do that. So you're programming it, you're giving it instructions. For me, since I do a lot of pendulum work, checking the chakras, and when we're doing chakra work, we are checking to see if it's going in a circle, around circle, clockwise, or counterclockwise. I'm so accustomed to using the circle that it makes sense to me to just have that circular motion be a yes or a no. So I prefer to just have it all be pretty uniform in how I use the pendulum. But if you prefer, you can program it. When you're asking yes and no questions, you can have it go side to side or up and down. Or you can just stick with the circular pattern. Okay. Yes. Then you also can choose your pendulum by using your internal pendulum, which is when you're holding a stone, if you feel drawn forward towards that stone, then, or especially if you're standing, it's easier to do this when you're standing. If you feel a slight pull forward, then that means that stone is for you. If you feel a slight pull back, then that stone is not for you at this time. There's another thing that you can do, and I'm not set up to take my gemstones off of my neck right now, but with these gemstones that are in round beads around my neck, you can actually, if there's a necklace, whether it's the round beads like this or if it's a pendant with a gemstone on it, you can hold it up, and if it, let you check it like a pendulum, if it moves in your yes pattern, whatever your yes would be when you're using a pendulum, for me that would be if it moves clockwise, that means that gemstone does want to work with me. if it's moving in my no pattern, which for me is a counterclockwise motion, that means no. And I had an opportunity, I was at a class a couple months ago where they had a whole bunch of these necklaces, and we could pick one out and check it and then set it back and pick another one out and check it, all different kinds of gemstones. And so I was able to find out which gemstones my body wanted. So that's another way that you can check to see which one is right for you. You can also find out which pendulum is right for you, which crystal is right for you, by just looking. Let's say you have a certain physical or emotional or other kind of issue going on, and you would like a gemstone to support you, you can use the Crystal Bible or Love is in the Earth or some other reference book and look it up, look up that issue, and look at what stones are on that page that say, okay, for digestive issues, these are the stones that are recommended. And then when you're looking at that page, you can say, okay, well, these three are astronomically expensive, so I might not want that $1,500 necklace, but this one is $50. I could maybe do that one and wear that to help my digestion. So you can, that is a factor that comes into play, because some gemstones are quite expensive. If you get a whole necklace that's made of ruby, or that's not for digestion, but that's an expensive one. Or diamond, right? That's that's going to be expensive. So those are the different ways to pick out your crystals. Any questions on that? Okay. So how to cleanse your crystals. We're going to talk about, before you use your crystal the very first time, let's say you've just bought it at the store, or you have, or someone's given it to you as a gift, you need to clear that crystal before you set it in your home, before you use it, because it's going to be holding the energy of wherever it was at. So if it was at a store, then it will have picked up the frenetic energy from the store and so on. So you'll want to clear it. So there are some different methods for clearing your crystals. So get your pen ready. So the first method is brushing. So this would mean that you can take a soft brush, such as a makeup brush or a paintbrush, and you can use that to clear that stone physically and energetically. You can also clean that gemstone physically by putting it in a bowl of water and using a drop or two of mild detergent, and then following it with clear water. Now, do not ever use water if they are water-soluble crystals, like selenite. Selenite is a water-soluble crystal, so you don't want to put that in water. So if it's a crystal that you're familiar with and you know that it will be okay in water, you can rinse it. I like to rinse I have chakra crystals that I use in my sessions, in my private sessions. And I like to, since they've been on different people's bodies in between sessions, I really like to give them a gentle wash under cool water. That's how I like to do it. And then I also clear them. So running water will also clear them energetically. So it's going to clear the energy. Again, don't put any water-soluble crystals in water. Another way that you can clear your crystals is by setting them out in moonlight. You can set them on a dish, out in your yard, wherever that they will not be disturbed, and just let the moonlight shine on them all night long. You can also It works equally well no matter what the phase of the moon is, but you can experiment with using the full moon or the new moon. I also like to clear my crystals with sunlight. So I set them outside. So they don't get dirt on them. I do usually put them on a plate. But you want to be cautious. There are certain crystals, like quartz crystals, they actually magnify sunlight. So they can actually start a fire, especially crystal balls. So you do not ever want to put a crystal ball in sunlight. That's why if you've ever seen a crystal ball before, a lot of times it's covered with a black velvet cloth or something. It's because you don't want it to be left unattended with the sun shining on it. As you may know from Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, you can actually start a fire with a magnifying glass, focusing the sunlight onto your paper or pieces of grass, right? So it's the same thing with clear crystal quartz. Yes, thank you. So there are some stones, like I would not recommend setting your stones permanently in a sunny window, for example, because some of them, like amethyst, will fade over time. So you can put them in the sun for a period of time in order to clear them. But just basically each stone, once you become familiar with it, you'll know what's appropriate or not. But I generally speaking, like all of my gemstones are not in the sunny window. They're actually over to the side, so the sun isn't shining on them. There's no hazard, and they're also not going to fade. You can also use smudge, so you can clear your stones by using sage. You can also, depending on the crystal, you can bury the crystal in the earth. And then when you unearth it a week or more later, it will be totally cleared. And so one technique in doing this is to bury it during a full moon and unearth it on a new moon. Now considering that, now imagining burying the stone in the earth, of course, any stones that are water soluble would not be good for this, because they're going to get water on them if you bury them, right? Or it might rain or whatever. And you are going to have to wash it off after you bring it inside. You can also place your crystal, if you have a larger crystal, like a geode. A geode is a big rock that usually they'll use a hammer or a chisel to break it open. And on the inside, there's a whole bed of crystals on the inside of the rock. So you can actually place a crystal or crystals inside of that to clear it. And then you can also use sounds like chanting, drumming, tuning forks, playing Tibetan bells or cymbals can help clear the energies of your stones. I actually have a tuning fork that's called they're called crystal tuners or angel tuners, but the one of the three angel tuners is specifically for clearing crystals, and I'll show that to you after one of the breaks. It's this really tiny tuning fork that's very high pitched, and if you play it over the crystal, it'll clear the energy and enhance it. And then you can also use breath to clear your crystals. So, for example, you hold the crystal in front of you and you imagine blowing any energies that are not aligned with that crystal, blowing those energies out of the crystal and away. And you can also use Reiki to clear your crystal. So you can hold it in your hand, and I usually will close my hand up and send Reiki to it. Now, I actually distinguish between sending Reiki. Okay, so let me be a little more clear about that. You can send Reiki to your crystal to help to clear it, but here's what I do. I consider sending Reiki to the crystal to be not clearing it, but charging it. There's a difference between clearing and charging. So your first step is to clear your crystal, clean it energetically or physically. And then once you've cleaned it, then you want to charge it with your intention. So you can hold it in your hands and send Reiki to it. Okay. So what I usually do when I'm in the middle of a session and I'm using various different crystals, I might not be able to stop and go put the crystal in the sunlight or the moonlight or go run it underwater because I'm in the middle of a session. So if I'm handling the crystals various different times during the session, when I pick up my crystal, I actually will hold it downward and I will say and intend the word clear. Clear. I'm giving it instructions to clear. And then I hold it in my hand and I send Reiki to it. So sending Reiki to the crystal actually helps activate the crystal's natural abilities that it already has, right? So it helps enhance the qualities of the crystal. All right, so first you clear your crystal and then you charge it. So there's some different ways that you can work with crystals. Yes? Yeah, so sunlight also helps to charge your crystals. And I also feel like moonlight does too, because then you're enhancing the stone with the energy of the moon. So it's a moonlight charged stone or a sunlight charged stone. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, one more thing. I clearing, I use like these prayers to like at my intent. I have a mantra that I use to
yes.
Please clear these stones of any negative energy that these thought forms represent. Turn to its highest optimum vibration, refuse the unconditional love or whatever.
Yes. Yes, that's perfect. Thank you for adding that. So you can actually, and I didn't have that on my list, but it should be, you can clear and charge your crystals with prayer or blessing. So using words and intent to clear the gemstone, and then using words, blessing, and intent to charge the gemstone. So you can, so James gave an example of clearing the gemstone. And then after that, you can say in your eye, I now charge this crystal with Reiki and I ask for it to be, returned to its original power in the earth and so on. So you can add a blessing.
I actually do it when I'm running it into water. I'm actually doing the intent while I'm cleaning it, clearing it, and then doing the mantra.
Great, that's great. So you can do it while running it underwater. So that actually points out that there's no right or wrong in these methods. You can follow your intuition and use more than one method. You can use, I don't always clear my crystals out in the earth, out in the moonlight, but occasionally I'm in the mood to do it. So it's like there's no certain rules, right? You follow what feels right to you. I will say that the necklaces that I wear every day, I actually take them off every night, and I have a house plant that I put them in every single night. And I had bought this house plant from Ace Hardware. It's right by my bed. And I noticed, I've gotten some plants there before and the plants were fine, but this particular plant, I don't know how to explain how I felt this, but this plant felt kind of depressed. Like, gosh, usually plants are happy when they come to my house, And they're happy to have a mom that appreciates them and waters them and sends them energy. And this one, this was like kind of down in the dumps, and it even looked kind of saggy, you know. And then when I got these gemstone necklaces, the first night I took them off and I put them in there, in the plant to be cleared while I was sleeping. So by the way, I could still get the benefits of the gemstones because it was close enough to my bed, but yet the plant was clearing it. And then when I went in the morning after I had showered, I went to go take the gemstones out of the plant, and I, the whole plant, again, I don't know how I could feel this, but it felt like the plant was so excited. It was like, oh, this is so great, because it had a job to do. It was so, it felt needed, you know? So, and then also it got to receive the benefits of the gemstones. So that plant has really perked up. And I don't know. I can sense plants. I lived out in a little cabin out in the middle of nowhere for about a year. And I spent extended periods of time just sitting with the plants. And that was the period in my life where plants started to communicate with me, which I was very surprised by, because I always believed that animals were sentient beings, but it didn't occur to me that plants are sentient too. So I've had multiple experiences where plants have communicated with me. So anyway, the way that I clear these necklaces every night is that I put them in my house plant. It's a pretty large house plant. Okay, so there's different ways that you can work with your crystals. Today, the way that we're going to work with our crystals is to, so here's another list that you're going to make. How to work with crystals. Today, one way that you're going to work with them is by creating a crystal grid. How to work with crystals. Another way that you can work with crystals is by doing chakra balancing. Placement on your body, placing them on your body. Okay, and now we're going to backtrack and go a little more basic. So another way that you can work with crystals is just by carrying or holding them and just feeling their energies. You can carry them around in your pocket, in your shirt. You can also wear them on a necklace or a pendant or a ring, right? Any kind of jewelry, earrings, even a tiara. There's some really cool, I don't know anywhere around here that sells them, but I've seen some really cool, like, crown tiara headpieces that had really neat gemstone settings. And I'm sure that would be very interesting to sense what that does energetically. And then in some native cultures, they actually put their gemstones on their belt buckles as well. Another way that you can use crystals is through crystal elixirs. So that's, again, putting the crystal in the water. Or if it's a water-soluble stone like selenite, and you are not supposed to put it in the water, you can create the crystal elixir by placing the crystal next to the water. And we'll go into all of that much more in depth next month. And then you drink the water.
Note.
Yeah. Yes, thank you for pointing that out. There actually are some. So not only do you want to avoid making an elixir with water-soluble stones, but there are some that are toxic that you should not put them in water. You should not drink that water. So what I would say, if you want to be on the safe side, I really do recommend this book, Crystal Chakra Healing, to start with. If you're really new to crystals and you don't know which ones are toxic, you can start with, they actually take you through each of the chakras, and they have different stones, choices of different stones that you can use, an explanation of each stone, and it also tells you if that stone is toxic and you should not make an elixir with it, so then you'll know. For those of you who are already really familiar with gemstones, then you probably have other books that you can look it up in, or you have the knowledge in your head. Thank you very much for pointing that out. Do you have any specifics on off the top of your head that you know?
So if it is something that's toxic, you can actually put it right beside the glass of water.
Yes. So if
the energy infuses into the water, or sometimes I even put it touching the glass, so it really gets contact with the crystal.
Yeah. So
it's the same as the wand, like you said, they have that special wand where you can put it inside the glass, and the glass goes inside the pitcher. So
okay.
It's not never actually touching the water.
So if it is a toxic stone, then you can still make an elixir by putting the stone not in the water, but next to the glass jar. Yeah. So it's just a matter of, you don't want it physically in the water. It's actually, there can be benefits to drinking that. How do I want to say this? You can make elixir water with a toxic stone and have it be beneficial for you, but don't ever put it in the water. Yeah. It should be made.
So this one is the polish that they put on tumbled stones, right?
Some crystals are copper-based, some are, okay. You have to be really aware of what crystals you buy. Some like real gar, those, they are cyanide-based, so if you touch it and you eat, you get sick. So you really have to understand. A lot of red, really red crystals, and green crystals, like certain green crystals, they're either ore or some sort of lead base. So
okay,
really,
so red and green.
Cinnabar is very toxic.
So cinnabar is toxic.
What else is that?
So watch out for the red and green ones, because they're, what did you say? They're ore-based.
Yeah, ore-based or copper-based.
So let's talk about what are some ones that you know are safe, like rose quartz.
Quartz tends to be.
Clear crystal quartz, right? So if you wanted to go home and make some, just based on, even though we haven't gone into details today, you can use rose quartz and you would be safe. And it can be a very beautiful, compassionate, heart-opening drink. And then using just clear crystal quartz, putting that out in the moonlight can be a really nice thing too. Yeah. So we could go on and on with the stones that are toxic. And so the idea is, you want to do your research. Don't ever put a stone in water unless you're really sure that it can go in water.
I'm looking at my phone is because I can't recognize the icon. But I actually purchased an application for my phone for like $1.99.
Uh-huh.
So that you don't have to carry your book around with you all the time.
Yes.
And then it tells you the definition, what it does. And I think it might have a picture too. But I'm like, where is it?
Okay.
You could always just make an elixir by putting the stone beside the glass rather than in it.
Yes, that's what we were saying.
For
any of the stones, if you're not sure. Actually, this is how, there's some people who make flower essences, which is similar, you make them in a similar way. Actually, I haven't gone into all of the details. If you want to make a gemstone elixir or even a flower elixir, I would recommend, if you're not sure, put the gemstone or the flower next to your water, and then you can drink it. But if you want the elixir to last, then you can actually put a couple of tablespoons of brandy in the mix, and it will actually hold it. But we'll actually learn how to do that next month. So if you go home and you're like, I really want to make some of that water, but I'm nervous, like Elaine said, just if you are not 100% sure, just put the stone outside of the water and on outside of the jar, and it's just as powerful. Just as powerful. So back to the uses of gemstones. The final use that we're going to talk about is to hold the gemstone or sit in a circle around, sit in a circle in the center of a gemstone circle for meditation. So you can either hold the gemstone or create a circle and sit inside of it. Or you can place the crystal, like an amethyst or something, over your third eye and meditate that way. So you can use them to enhance meditation. Did you have a question earlier?
I did. Okay, talking about my jade earlier, I charged it and I cleansed it. Well, I cleansed it and then I charged it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of have it sitting on a favorite place of mine. But do I continue, do I cleanse it again every so often?
That's a good question.
It again every so often.
So let's say you have a gemstone and you're not actively using it for all these different things that we've talked about. It's just sitting in a nice place in your home, and it's just you know, putting good energy in your home, and you like it there. So I would say, if it's just in the room, I would say when you, for me, I would say once a week, go through and clear your stones. So if you have a stone that's sitting on, you know, on your coffee table or something like that, then when you do your weekly housework, then go through and clear your stone. If you're using it for a session or some kind of healing, then you want to clear it right away before and after.
Did you sage your house? Because that's what I do when I want to clear my crystals. I'll sage the whole house, and I'll sage the crystals as I'm saging.
That's a great idea.
It's a quick way of doing it, and then you also get the whole house clear.
Yeah, so when you do your house clearing, you can sage your whole house and then stop and sage each of your crystals. You could also do the same thing with chokurei. So you can go around and clear every room using chokurei, and then also then stop and chokurei each of the stones, or do sage and chokurei. So again, there's no right or there's no one specific way. You just follow what works for you. Any questions? Okay. We are all done with that segment.